In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the question that the sacred text puts before us today is, what are you tied to? What are you tied to? Maybe one of the most important questions you will ask yourselves. Because everyone has something pulling on them, tugging on them. This direction, that direction, up and down, all over the place. Maybe we're tied to our work. Maybe we're tied to our friends. Maybe to our family. Maybe it's something more sinister and problematic like drugs and alcohol. What is it for you? And don't pretend that you don't know what it is. If you think about it for 20 seconds, you'll be able to tell me. Or more importantly, tell yourself. When Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, he's making a declarative statement. He's stating a fact, declaring something that is true. He's saying to you, you are tied to me. You belong to me. You and I are one. That where I am, you may be also. And it's more than ironic, I think, that Jesus uses the image of a plant that grows out of the earth to describe the close and intimate relationship that we have with him. And I say that because it was by a tree that grows out of the earth that man made himself an enemy with God. By seeking to graft himself onto that tree and its fruit, Adam stopped producing good fruit for God and then started producing fruit for Satan. Of this new fallen condition that the race of Adam finds itself in, St. Paul says, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. It's Romans 7. When God looks out over the people that he created, he sees that every inclination of man's heart is evil from birth. That's from Genesis 8. So if this be the case, and it is, how is it then that Jesus can say that he is the vine and we are the branches that are a part of him? Well, we didn't become branches naturally. We didn't decide to make ourselves branches. We had to be grafted into the vine, brought into Jesus. Now, grafting is a very, very exact process, one that I've never been successful at. When you graft, the main trunk of the vine is opened up, and the branch that you're looking to graft is tapered and fitted and positioned just so upon that vine where you opened it up. And it's important to note, the branch must be made to fit the vine, not the other way around. That's important. Jesus is not made to fit us. We are made to fit Jesus. And then that branch must be positioned in a way that the branch draw its life from the vine. So in the same way, Jesus says, you are grafted into him. Jesus on the cross was opened up. The life-giving sap of his blood spilled on the ground now courses through us, feeding us into the life of the Son of God. So what we should see then when we fix our eyes on the wounds of Jesus is our grafting point, the place from which our life flows. That's why I always prefer a cross with an image of the body of my Lord on it to an empty cross. Right? There's nothing ambiguous about this. Nothing. I can look at it and I can see the gospel right here. I can see the gospel of my salvation and my grafting point. And I know I said it in Bible study, but it's worth saying again. I think so anyway. An empty cross is not the biblical symbol or sign of the resurrection. It's just not. You know what is? The empty tomb. The empty tomb is the biblical sign and symbol of the resurrection. In this grafting point, in the grafting that our Lord does, He didn't just take us the way that we were. We had to be made to fit the vine. The Holy Spirit has cleansed us, has stripped away our original sin. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, He brought us to water in the wilderness or water in the font, and there He rebirthed us. He trimmed away the dead wood, the wood that's not growing, that wood of our own self-righteousness, the wood of our pride, and then He carefully shaped us to fit the vine Jesus. And what happens next is just as much a miracle of the power of faith. After the Father grafted us into the vine, the life of Jesus, the life of God begins to flow into us. Dead, withering, and fallen branches begin to burst forth with life. The valley of dry bones quickened. Spiritual food came from the vine and brought to life, brought abundant life to dead branches, to you. Brings it to you. Jesus explains to us how this happens. He says in verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." It's the word of Jesus, the powerful word of Jesus that carries spiritual food to His branches. The mighty word of God brings to life, and the mighty word of God keeps alive. And we can no more choose to come to life than dead branches lying on the ground after a storm or a wind comes through and knocks them down. You can't graft yourself back into the tree. It has to be the vine dresser. Our faith is the result of the mighty and powerful working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, His grafting you into the vine. And so what then becomes of boasting on your part? What becomes of boasting before the Lord, who says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing"? These words of the Savior, that He is the vine and we are the branches, are at once our death and our life. His words lay to waste any notions of your own personal goodness, your own righteousness, or your own self-sufficiency. They lay you bare. Just a few verses later in this same chapter, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but what? I chose you. And why? That you should go forth and bear fruit." This absolutely expels any thoughts or notions of self-salvation, leaving them to wither and die on the ground at the feet of Jesus. All of our pride, all of our arrogance, of which we have much, everything that would tell us that we can become righteous by ourselves, by being good or nice or whatever, has no place in the Christian religion. If you think that I'm wrong, take a look at yourself. We don't like doing that, do we? Probably not all that often. Take a look at yourself. Does your conscience not convict you? Does it not accuse you? Does not that same conscience hold up before you the thousands of times that you have strayed from the Lord? Does not the weakness of your will, the frailty of your resolve, your continual weakness of faith, and your perpetual falling into sin, does all of that not tell you that if you are anything at all, that it's only by the mercy and faithfulness of God, and that alone, that you have nothing to do with it? If anyone imagines there was something good in them, why they've been chosen by God, then they're in the dark concerning the very first principles of the gospel and of grace. If they would have known the gospel, and indeed the God who brings it, they'd be the first ones to confess that they are less than the least of all of these. They are unworthy, undeserving, hell-deserving even. And they describe all that God made them to be as mercy, as grace. They describe it all to that and to nothing else. If the Holy Vine Dresser would not have picked us up off of the scorched ground on which we lay, grafted us withering branches onto the Lord Jesus, we'd be nothing. Nothing. But praise be to God, we have Jesus, the vine who bleeds for us when he's opened up. I mean, have you ever just thought about that? That one simple fact that is everything to us about what grace is. I mean, we talk about it all of the time, don't we? Lutherans especially do. We've not just been shown the mercy and love of our Creator. It's not just a mere fact that's laid up before us. It has been poured all over us. We are drenched. We're soaking wet in it. We bathe in it daily. We have the life of the true vine coursing through our veins. His holy body broken for us, his blood poured out from the cross for us. A seat in heaven will one day be ours because of him. Where before our only inheritance was a chain in hell, there but for the grace of God go you and I, and nothing else. And Jesus then makes it very, very clear to us that once the vine dresser has grafted us on, our job is to produce fruit. With the help and the presence of God the Holy Spirit, that of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, virtue, faithfulness, gentleness. And what's the last one? Self-control. Self-control. And he also makes it very clear what happens when those branches do not produce fruit. And it is startling to us, and we need to hear it again in verse 2. Every branch that bears no fruit shall be cut off. Every one of them. Stark words, but words we need. These words of Jesus come as a clear sentinel's warning to each of us. He expects us to produce the fruits of the holy faith. This is something that Jesus made clear throughout all of his ministry, his whole lifetime. Blessed is he who hears the word of God and keeps it, he says in Luke 11. And then do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And James says this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If Jesus sees your life and sees that it's all talk, all a show, all a mask, and no action, you too will be cut off from the vine. That's not my teaching. That's the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll wither up and you will die. Continue then to feed on the word Jesus. Continue to drink from the cup of his blessing. Let his lifeblood continue to course through your veins. Study the word. Bathe yourselves in it. Continue to grow your faith from a sapling branch into a strong, mighty branch capable of supporting and bearing much fruit. And when he prunes you, and he will prune you because he loves you, he does so in his mercy. When he prunes you, know that it is for your good and his glory. Study his word. Know his word. Memorize his word. Let it always be on your mind, right? On your lips and in your heart. And you probably wonder why I do that at the announcement of the gospel every week. On your mind, on your lips, and on your heart. Because you are tied to the Savior. He has declared it to be so, and your baptism is proof positive of that. In the first creation, he gave you yourself, right? He gave you your being, what you are. In the second creation, he grafted you and gave you himself. Not only did he give you yourself back that you lost in the fall, but that where he is, you may be also, even unto the heights of heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.